of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. You're locked in with your host, Brent McGuire. Today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join me this week, tonight at 6 p.m. Pacific time to get in on the action. Locker Room, changing the way that we talk about sports. I'm not even sure I have quite comprehended what we're about to talk about in this episode. There is so much happening with the Angels beyond the fact that they just lost their fifth straight game of the season. Things are looking really rough, but that is not the biggest news topic for this episode. The biggest news topic that we're going to touch on is the Angels DFAing future first ballot Hall of Famer Albert Pujols in the final year of his contract. So we are briefly going to go over the game today, and then we're going to spend most of the rest of the episode talking about the Albert Pujols decision, what it means, talking about his career with the Angels, the legacy he's going to leave behind, and all that kind of stuff. And we're going to try to finish off the episode with a few fan mailbag questions. But before we get into the episode, as usual, if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can find me at BMags94. You can follow my written work at Crashing the Pearly Gates. And if you haven't done so already, make sure to download, subscribe, rate, and review the Locked On Angels podcast wherever you get your podcast from. So happy Friday. I hope you are hanging in there and trying to keep up with all of the Angels news. Like I said, this has been an absolute whirlwind of a week and really a couple of weeks for the Angels. And I'm still trying to wrap my head around everything that is happening right now. Biggest news item of this episode is going to be the discussion about Albert Pujols being DFA'd by the Angels. I am certainly not the only person who was caught completely off guard by all of this news. So we're going to break down that entire story, Albert Pujols in his career with the Angels, and ultimately the legacy that he's going to leave behind. Before we do that, we are going to briefly go over the game from Thursday because it is worth talking about, because it was yet another disaster of a game for the Angels. One last thing before we do get started, though, as I mentioned at the top, we're doing a locker room session tonight. If you want to join and vent all of your frustrations out about the Angels, feel free to join me at 6 o'clock. This is going to be a shorter one. It's going to be roughly a half hour or so before the Angels Dodgers game start, but that is going to be tonight at 6 p.m. So let's talk about the Angels play first before we get into the Pujols discussion. Again, full disclosure, the Angels are down 8-3 as I'm recording this. I am under the impression that they are not going to come back and win this game. This had the ingredients of a very good game for the Angels, a much needed win after what's been just an absolutely brutal stretch for the team. They're winning 3-0 going into the seventh inning. Andrew Heaney is pitching his best game of the season. He's dealing. Shohei Ohtani hits another home run the day after he pitched 5 scoreless innings for the Angels. It looked like a very straightforward, simple win for the Angels. And quite frankly, that's probably all that they needed on Thursday. And of course, because this is how things are going for the Angels right now, the bullpen comes in and has an absolute implosion. 8 runs are scored in just like the blink of an eye, and this game is over in a heartbeat. And everything was going wrong in the 7th and 8th inning for the Angels. I mean, it was bad pitching, it was bad defense, really bad breaks. I mean, just all of the elements that you're not looking for when you're trying to hold down a lead. So the Angels lose yet another game. That's their 5th straight loss. They are 13-17. They've played really bad baseball for much of the last 2 to 3 weeks, and this season is very quickly getting out of hand for the Angels. And as we've talked about before, the schedule coming up, it's a gauntlet. I mean, yes, the Dodgers have struggled recently, but they're probably going to turn it around soon. You've got Houston next week, Boston, the series after that. It is about to get even more difficult, and this is just a tough time for the Angels. So that's, I think, all I've got in regards to the game itself and the way the Angels are playing. I coming into this episode, I was telling myself that there was really nothing the Angels could do on Thursday during the game that was going to overtake the discussion about Albert Pujols, because this was an absolute bombshell. So this happened, you know, Thursday, late morning, early afternoon, just feels like it's a normal Thursday. And then Mark Finesand drops the news that the Angels are DFAing Albert Pujols. And much like everybody else, it was a bombshell. It was totally out of the blue, caught me off guard. And I, quite frankly, I'm still trying to wrap my head around this. This is a guy who is a certain future first ballot Hall of Famer in the final year of his contract. And I felt like at this point, we were at the point of no return with Pujols. He made it this far despite the utterly subpar production from him for the past half decade or so. And I really thought that he was just going to ride off into the sunset in an Angels uniform. Well, it turns out that's not what happened. So I do want to kind of break down all of the details of this and then talk about the really complicated legacy that Pujols is going to leave behind. So let's first start by just talking about what happened and why the Angels got to this point. So we have gotten some more clarity on the situation. When it was first reported, we had a lot of different information out there and it was really hard to piece it together. And quite frankly, there might be some things that happened behind closed doors that we're never going to hear about. But this is kind of what we know. It sounds like the Angels have internally discussed releasing Pujols and trying to figure out the best way to do so over the past few weeks. And that kind of reached a tipping point on Wednesday's game when the Angels, who had a severely depleted lineup, decided to sit Albert Pujols, and he took offense to it. Albert Pujols had a career he went 6-for-9 in his career against the starting pitcher that night with multiple home runs, and he took exception. And I think this was kind of just like the boiling point, the tipping point, where both sides were on very different spectrums of what they were expecting from each other. And it sounds like it's okay, it's not as simple as this, but it sounds like Albert Pujols wants more playing time. The Angels have said that they want to move on and play Jared Walsh every day at first base, which is problematic because Albert Pujols can't play first base or DH, considering you've got Jared Walsh and Shohei Ohtani. So the two sides came together and decided to basically part ways. Now, it's more complicated than this because this has been an issue, in my opinion, for the Angels and Pujols for the past 5 years. This is not the first time that Albert Pujols has been playing subpar baseball for the Angels. He has been basically at this level for the past 5 years. And I went on the Locked On Now podcast with Peter Bukowski, and he kind of asked me, like, the first question he asked was, why now? Why did the Angels wait until now to finally make this decision, despite the fact that he's basically doing what he's been doing for the past 5 years of his career? I think the simple answer is the Angels simply have better options right now. Whereas before, maybe you weren't convinced that CJ Cron or Matt Theis or whoever it was that might have been playing first base or DH for you, those guys maybe necessarily weren't obvious better players than Albert Pujols. But right now, there is no argument to be made that Jared Walsh and Shohei Ohtani are not better players, better hitters than Albert Pujols. There's just no argument to be made. So I think that is the single biggest difference. And something that I have said multiple times today on social media, on the Lockdown Now podcast, on Crashing the Pearly Gates, my sentiment on this is Albert Pujols has every reason to be upset about not getting more playing time. That's well within his right. He's a competitive athlete with a very long track record of success playing for a team that has treated him basically the same way for the past decade of his life. Even when he wasn't playing well, he was receiving playing time. So I think there is a very rational reason for why Pujols would be upset, despite the fact that he probably knows that his production is not what it once was. He's probably aware of that. On the flip side, the Angels have every single reason to not play him because of the reasons I just mentioned. Pujols has been a below average player and below average hitter for the past 5 to 6 seasons. And Jared Walsh, Shohei Ohtani, objectively better players at this point, and that's not even open for discussion. So you put all of those elements together, and it makes sense that this is the ultimate ending for both parties. It kind of stinks that this is the way it had to happen, but based on the reporting that we heard, sounds like Angels GM Perry Minassian and a lot of the front office members were not exactly expecting Shohei Ohtani to be playing every single day with him doing the pitching thing as well, so that really sucked up any opportunity for Pujols to get DH opportunities, and then it sounds like they are firmly committed to Jared Walsh playing first base. They don't want to keep moving him around between the outfield and first base, so the Angels decided, hey, you know what? This is a move that we've got to make. I think they had their decision in mind. Pujols did not agree with it, obviously, so they parted ways. Again, there's a lot of information that we probably do not know about at the moment, but that is kind of the simple, short summary of why Albert Pujols is not an Angel anymore. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk more in depth about the complicated story of Albert Pujols in an Angels uniform, the legacy he's going to leave behind, and ultimately how I feel about his tenure with the Angels. But first, let's talk about Bet Online. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all of the action at Bet Online. You can get the latest news, odds, and info for all of your sporting needs, including Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL, and all of your UFC and MMA action. So before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or your mobile device and check out all of the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. So make sure to head to the website at betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So let's talk a little bit more about Albert Pujols at length. So we've got the news that's out there. Albert Pujols is not an Angel. That is a fact. What is not a fact is the legacy that he's going to leave behind as a member of the Angels organization. So before I even get into how I feel about it and ultimately what his legacy might be with the Angels, I think it's first important to kind of just backtrack a little bit and just kind of talk about what Albert Pujols is and what he was, like, from an objective standpoint. I think it's fair to say that Albert Pujols is objectively a future first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the best hitters in Major League Baseball history. I think it's also fair to say that Albert Pujols never once approached those previous great elite levels that he had been at with the Cardinals while he was with the Angels. I think those are statements that can both be mutually true at the same time. Look, when the Angels signed Albert Pujols to that big deal, I think there was an expectation that maybe the back end of the deal was not going to look as good, and maybe Pujols was never going to be as good as he was in a Cardinals uniform. What I don't think people expected, myself included, was Albert Pujols to immediately produce well below any level he'd ever been at with the St. Louis Cardinals. And it was basically downhill from day one with Pujols. He had a solid first year in 2012 with the Angels. He was injured for a lot of the season in 2013, bounced back a little bit from 2014 to 2015, and from 2016 on, I mean, Albert Pujols was, and I mean this in the nicest way possible, he was a shell of his former self. He had lost all of the skills that had made him the great player that he once was. And you look at the numbers as a whole. Again, it's not, there isn't really a discussion to be had about if he was as good or not as he was with the Cardinals. He was objectively a worse player with the Cardinals. On the flip side, the Angels got a decade of production from Albert Pujols that saw him finish in the top 10 in games played, home runs, doubles, runs batted in, runs, and just overall, from a run-producing standpoint, you can look at that and say, Pujols was one of the best run producers in franchise history. I think these are all statements that are pretty true. The complications come from how do you view what Albert Pujols did in an Angels uniform, because it's hard to see the numbers when you put them side by side with the Cardinals. Again, look, I might have had unrealistic expectations of him. I was under the impression that the Angels were still going to get somewhat close to an elite version of Pujols for the first part of that contract. We never saw that with the Angels. I mean, one of the most startling facts that I found today when I was kind of doing some more, or yesterday when I was doing some more research, was Albert Pujols by wins above replacement finished at 5.7 according to Fangraphs. Now, there's a little bit of a discrepancy between that and Baseball Reference, which is closer to 12 wins, so take it for what that is. But if you're looking at the Fangraphs version, that 5.7 figure, that's what he did in his 10 years with the Angels. With the St. Louis Cardinals, he did that 9 different times. I mean, that is a staggering fact that shows you that this was a completely different version of Albert Pujols in an Angels uniform. So if you're talking about the straight-up production standpoint from what Pujols provided for the Angels, I mean, objectively, he was not a great player. He probably was not a good player for most of the contract with the Angels. Now, I'm sure I will get some pushback from some people who will point out the fact that he hit a lot of home runs. He drove in a lot of runs. He had a lot of hits, and he played a lot of games. Those are all things that definitely matter when you're talking about a legacy perspective. But if you're talking about actually translating that to wins, and if you're talking about this from a pure value standpoint, Pujols did not provide that value. He simply did not. At his best with the Angels, he was a slightly above average player and good hitter. He never once approached those previous highs that he had with the St. Louis Cardinals. So it begs the question of how we're supposed to remember Albert Pujols. Because again, we're talking about a guy, I've said this multiple times now, but is one of the best players in baseball history. He's one of the best hitters in baseball history. Those are objective truths about his game, or about his stats. But if we're talking about him from an Angels perspective, he fell below expectations. I mean, there is no question about that. And whether it's fair or not to view him that way, that's just the truth about what the Angels expected, what the fans expected, and ultimately what became of Albert Pujols in an Angels uniform. I mean, when he was signed, that 10-year, $250 million deal, that signified that this was the guy that they were expecting to help take them to the next level. The Angels had been a very, very good franchise in terms of team success for the past decade. After a couple of bad years in 2010 and 2011, I mean, Pujols was brought on board to take the Angels to the next level. He never did. There was never really any point during the last 10 years where Albert Pujols was a key catalyst that was carrying the team, other than a couple of hot home run stretches. It's hard to not look at that and say, this was a disappointment. We expected him to provide these kind of services for the Angels, and he did not do that. And I think one of the most startling facts about all of this is when we view Pujols and the legacy that he left behind, it's really hard to not look at what Pujols did and what the Angels did during his tenure. Fair or not, the Angels severely underperformed while Albert Pujols was under contract with the Angels. And while I'm not going to go as far as saying that Pujols was fully responsible for that, if you're looking for one of the main culprits, or if you're looking for the poster boy for why the Angels did not have success, you look at a guy like Pujols, who played below expectations and was probably making a little bit more money than he should have based on the services that he was providing. And as a result, the Angels had inflated payrolls and were allocating money to older players who weren't producing. And as a result, they weren't having as much success on the field. So this might feel like it's a critical view of Pujols. I want to be perfectly clear that I respect the hell out of Albert Pujols. When I first started watching baseball, Pujols was the guy. He was the best player in baseball. I can vividly remember playing MLB The Show back in 2006, and Albert Pujols was like the 99 overall player. Like, he was the dude. And when the Angels signed him, I was through the roof. I was ecstatic about this. I mean, my good friend Jared Timms and I attended the same high school. And on that day when he signed, I mean, I was just so stoked about having him in an Angels uniform. But it was a complicated time with the Angels because there was this expectation that he was going to produce a certain way, and we just never saw it at any point. Now, I've gone this far, and I haven't even mentioned the accolades, the milestone moments that he had with the Angels. I mean, it was awesome. It was so cool to see his 500th home run, his 600th home run, his 3,000th hit, his 2,000th RBI. These are all numbers that very few people have ever reached, and being able to see someone do that on your favorite team's uniform, it's a very cool thing to see. I think the problem that I and many others have with it is he didn't do most of that damage with the Angels. Like, you can respect what he did before and acknowledge that this guy is going to be a Hall of Famer someday, but also recognize that with the Angels, he was a disappointment. I mean, that is, in my opinion, it's an objective truth. You talk about what he produced, what the expectation was, and how the Angels did in that time, it's hard to not look at this whole thing and come away disappointed by the legacy of it. It's a very difficult thing to talk about because this guy has done so much good for the game, but in his time with the Angels, the production was just never there. It just simply was not there. I will acknowledge that the moments were really cool. His mentoring to Mike Trout, that's something that you probably cannot quantify, and I don't want to undersell what that was. And I also don't want to undersell some of the name value of having guys like that around your franchise. I mean, there is probably some value with that, but if we're talking about the legacy that he's going to leave behind, I think it's hard to say this was a success for the Angels based on everything that I provided here today. So there was one final point that I have to acknowledge about the Albert Pujols situation, and that's the contract. I mean, you look at the total years, the total amount of money, 10 years, $250 million, it's a big deal. If you're talking about the value that Pujols provided for the Angels, it was not a win for the club. And for those that listen to the show and follow my work, you know that I am very much pro players and all for players' rights and all of that kind of stuff. But if we're talking about a sheer value perspective and what Pujols provided for the Angels, I mean, it wasn't good. Now, there's an argument to be made that even when Pujols' contract was looking like an albatross and the club probably should have been spending more money despite that fact, it's really hard when you have that much money tied up into one player who basically was not providing much for you. He was a below average hitter, couldn't play any other position besides first base or DH. And it's hard to not look at that fact and look forward to next year when that contract is off the books and thinking about what the Angels might be able to do with that. For me, I'm not focusing as much on the contract itself. I'm more or less looking at the expectations of what he was going to provide for the Angels and him falling short of that. I'm less concerned about the money, the financial aspect of all of this, than I am about the production standpoint. So that was kind of the final point that I wanted to make about this Albert Pujols situation. But look, this is a very complex issue, and I'm sure this is not the last time that we're going to be talking about this on the show. I'm sure this is going to resurface time and time again, but I think this is all I've got on this topic for right now. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to answer some fan mailbag questions really quickly. But first, let me tell you about Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar on the market right now. Built Bar has 9 absolutely delicious flavors right now, such as cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, and double chocolate that are absolutely delicious. But most importantly, Built Bars aren't just the best tasting protein bars, they're the healthiest ones too. Most protein bars have tons of protein, they are low in calories, low in sugar, and high in fiber. So if you want Built Bar, make sure to go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON15 and you'll get 15% off your first order. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON15 for 15% off at builtbar.com. Get all of the sports news that you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Your host, Peter Bukowski, updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. So make sure to follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast from. So we're going to finish off this episode. Usually we do a Friday mailbag, and I want to stay true to that. Obviously, a lot has happened that required other things to talk about, mainly the Albert Pujols thing. So we're going to kind of just run through these really quickly. I'm sorry that I'm not spending as much time on this. So the first question is from FryerTuck95. Says, Brent, I listen to the podcast every morning. Can we fix our bullpen or is it, I'm not going to repeat the word, but it's, is it, yeah. I think this bullpen is definitely a problem right now. It's very clear that there are depth issues. There are top level production issues with this team. Maybe it's not all that surprising given that, given everything that went on with the bullpen. I mean, they made a lot of change over the offseason. They made a lot of changes right before opening day. And since that time, we just saw Felix Pena come back. Ty Buttrey retired. Chris Rodriguez just ended up going on the injured list with shoulder inflammation. And things are in flux right now. It's really hard to have good bullpen production when so many different guys are coming in and out. There aren't necessarily defined roles. And to add on to that, the starters outside of Andrew Heaney going pretty deep on Thursday's game, they're not giving you much length. So that creates issues, and it's a work in progress. I'm definitely more concerned right now about the bullpen than I am about the starting rotation. And maybe that's not something I was expecting to be saying coming into the season. But yeah, I mean, right now it's hard to not be worried about the bullpen. Next question is from Bucky asking, so he's basically asking with Pujols, what does this mean for Justin Upton, who, although he's more productive than Albert, is followed by two promising outfielders in the Angels system and Otani seemingly being the everyday DH. So I don't want to read too much into this because it's just one isolated incident that we still don't have all the details for, but it does seem like Perry Minassian is being a little bit more proactive in terms of just trying to put the best players out there, period. From what I can gather, Minassian was leading, basically leading the charge along with ownership to try to find a way to move on from the Pujols situation. So in regards to Upton, I think the difference is Upton is still producing, and because he only has one more year after this, he might be able to make it through and be a productive player for the Angels, something that Albert Pujols was not for most of the past half decade. So it does make a difference that, like Bucky mentioned, Joe Adell, Brandon Marsh are in the upper minors. That definitely makes a difference, but I don't know if this Pujols thing is going to set precedent for that. So definitely a good question. I'm not quite sure I know what the full answer to this is. Next question is from Zach asking, what do the Angels do now that Pujols is gone? Walsh probably moves to first, but who mans right field? Good question, Zach. Again, we've seen a lot of guys playing out in right field, and I think this was maybe one of the areas that people were a little upset about when it comes to Albert Pujols. There wasn't necessarily an obvious replacement to put in his place because you could have technically kept Jared Walsh out in right field. But based on what we heard, they want to have Jared Walsh at first base. I think I understand that. I don't know who's going to end up in right field. I mean, I think Taylor Ward, Juan Lagares, and at some point we're probably going to see Joe Adell or Brandon Marsh. I think that's the boring answer. It's probably going to be a revolving door for much of the season, depending on how those young guys produce. I think that's kind of where the Angels stand right now. So we're going to finish off with one final question. This is from Michael asking, should the Angels regret not signing Trevor Bauer last offseason, considering he has a sub 2.5 ERA so far and has gone 6 starts with at least 6 innings pitched? And also, what trade scenarios for a frontline starting pitcher would you consider, and who would be packaged for whom? So I'm going to run through the last couple questions kind of quickly since we're running a little over today. I'm going to put my personal feelings for Trevor Bauer aside for a second and just talk about him strictly from a performance standpoint. He's a good pitcher. There's no doubt about it, and he would have helped the Angels immensely in terms of providing quantity and quality for the Angels. So should the Angels regret it? I don't know. I think it's too early on to tell. Would he have helped the rotation? Absolutely. I don't think there is really any doubt about that. And like Michael mentions, it's not just the ERA. It's the ability to go deep in games, and that's something that the Angels haven't gotten so far. In terms of the second question about trading for a frontline starting pitcher, I don't know. I a couple weeks ago when we talked about this, I felt more confident about the Angels, but based on where they're at, they're in a tailspin right now. So I don't know if that trade for a starting pitcher is going to come this year. It might be the opposite. It might be the Angels selling off once again this year. But if they were going to trade for somebody, I've still got the same guys in mind. I'm thinking someone like Sonny Gray, Luis Castillo, Herman Marquez, maybe Kyle Hendricks can be acquired at a slightly discounted price now because he's had such a bad start to the season. I'm not sure who would be involved in those trades. That's really going to depend on where the Angels are at. So I think that is everything for today's episode. This was jam-packed, and I've got to be honest, it was exhausting trying to keep up with all of this week. And quite frankly, it's exhausting being an Angels fan. I'm sure those listening to this understand that feeling. It's been hard. It's been a hard 5-10 years for the Angels or so, and this past week alone, it's just been crazy. It's been so hard to keep up with everything, but I think that's all I've got for today. So one final note, we are doing that locker room session tonight at 6 p.m. Pacific time, so if you want to join, make sure to come to that. But in the meantime, that's going to do it for today. As always, thank you for joining. Stay safe out there. Have a great weekend, and we will talk some Angels baseball on Monday.